Hello, fellow rebel capitalists. Hope you're well. I've got my good buddy right here, Rich Cooper, fellow entrepreneur and car enthusiast extraordinaire. So on this channel, the rebel capitalist brand itself, it's really about macro and finance and investing and freedom and liberty, but it's also about entrepreneurship. And so I don't know too many people that are better entrepreneurs than my buddy Rich. And he DM'd me the other day, said he was coming out with a new product, kind of a school for entrepreneurs. So I said, man, you got to get on the channel. We got to talk about it, because I know a lot of the people in my audience are thinking about starting a business or have a business that they kind of want to take to the next level. Mm-hmm. So I want to go back and forth, kind of talk about that, but then also discuss, give some value to as many people as we can. And so I'm sure most of you on the live stream right now know who Rich is. And so for any of you who want to ask a question, please go ahead and queue up with Josh. Josh will put the link in the live chat. And whether you have a question about entrepreneurship or the red pill stuff that Rich talks about with our good buddy Rolo, just go ahead and queue up. And if we've got any questions, we'll answer them at the end. But for my viewers, Rich, who don't know your backstory, can you kind of fill us in on that? The journey back in your 20s and working for that other corporation for 10 years, then you get the pink slip, and then you kind of take lemons and turn it into lemonade.
Yeah. So I always kind of had to hustle to make money when I was a kid, because my parents never gave me an allowance. So I had to figure out paper routes, shoveling driveways, cutting grass, all that sort of stuff. But I did corporate gigs for most of my 20s. And I learned there that they hire you for your resume, but they fire you because of fit. So when I was pretty close to 30, I was like having problems with my VP at the time. And, when they had the need to get a manager's salary off the books, they, packaged me off. They gave me like 15 grand. I went home and I had to decide what I was going to do, if I was going to continue working corporate gigs with the red tape. And I really hated it by that point, to be honest with you, George. Like, for 10 years, it was like, you know, like enough's enough. And I figured, despite having a house and not a huge amount of savings and the liabilities of the mortgage, I'm just going to start up a business. And what I did was I took what I was an expert at in the field of debt, because I worked in Equifax and a bunch of other different credit and collection agencies. And I created this strategy called debt settlement, which basically negotiated between the creditor and the debtor to the amount the debtor owed, lowering it. The creditor would take that as a lump sum full settlement, right off the difference, and your credit bureau would be updated and you'd be done. It was faster than bankruptcy and credit counseling. It was kinder to the credit report, and it gave the consumer a hell of a lot more control. So I ran that business from 2003 up until about 2019. Very successful, awarded several times for hypergrowth, for company culture, nominated for Entrepreneur of the Year by Ernst & Young, front page of the business section for all kinds of stuff from time to time. And I just had enough of it, really. And that's kind of when I leaned into like the YouTube sort of thing and the company of one.
But you started the YouTube channel in 2014, didn't you?
Yeah, there was some crossover. So it was like, I knew that I needed an exit and I didn't know what I was going to do. And I had a business that was running that was making money. So I took that as an opportunity to spend less time in the business, let my VP run, you know, most of the systems. And I would only work, like, I knew there was 5 days in a week. So it's like, you know what, I'll do 2 days in the old business and I'll lean 3 days into the new thing. And we were talking, you know, before about this, you know, that's when I was driving about an hour each way into work, and I would put a GoPro on my windshield and start talking about stuff that I thought mattered. And that took off for me in certain areas. And I am here today, talking to you guys about a course that I put together, which gets your mindset around what works in business and what doesn't work in business. So,
Yeah, but when we were discussing this before, I think you said something very interesting. You said that you're helping people kind of unplug from the lies or maybe the misrepresentations of entrepreneurship. Yeah. And for those of my viewers who know your channel, they know you do the exact same thing, but help guys kind of unplug, and gals unplug from the lies that we have been told about the other sex, growing up with all the Disney movies, et cetera. And I think the title of your book is The Unplugged Alpha. Yeah. So kind of what you're doing with this entrepreneur course, correct me if I'm wrong, is you're kind of doing the same thing, but instead of those people, or instead of guys who are kind of trying to figure out how to better perform with, let's say, the opposite sex, you're doing this with guys or gals who really want to perform better at making more money, kind of leveling up, either starting a business or taking their business to the next level. So it's the same type of a thing. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, I could have called the course the Unplugged Alpha's Guide to Entrepreneurship.
Yeah, there you go.
But I mean, it's like we've been lied to about a lot of things in lives, you know, like what drives attraction, you know, between the sexes, how to make money, how to generate wealth. You talk a lot on your channel about some of the weird stuff that's going on out there. I mean, like you unplug guys when it comes to stuff the media is pushing, you know, often with a lot of the articles that you cover with WEF and Klaus Schwab and the weird stuff that's going on with the war and stuff like that. So I think that, you know, setting the record straight for guys and gals to understand what works and doesn't work in business is kind of missing because, I mean, the title of my channel is Entrepreneurs in Cars. So I always have guys that call in on shows or like, I want to start a business. I don't know where to start. Or the second most popular one is I'm running something, but I hate it. It's not making any money. It's driving me nuts. I'm working long hours. It's a disaster. I can't scale it. That's why I put the course together, because I basically took everything that I've learned over my entire life from my own experiences and the guys that I've worked with or coached or even been in forums or masterminds with. And I've just distilled and sanitized it down to this is what the best entrepreneurs do and this is what they don't do. And then I've created all those modules around that.
With your experience in entrepreneurship and then helping other entrepreneurs grow and scale their business or start a business, how important is starting a business around your passion, or is that important at all? Because, you know, I started this YouTube channel because I was very passionate about macroeconomics. And especially the Rebel Capitalist show, because I was in with this channel specifically, because I was really passionate about freedom and liberty. And this was back when we were going through all the, we'll call them medicine mandates and whatnot, that you've got firsthand experience with there in Canada. But I know for some people, they take that to an extreme where they follow their passion into a business that will just never, ever, ever be able to make enough profit to sustain them. But then on the other hand, you want it to have some sense of passion or else you're going to get demotivated. So where's the fine line there?
I think that it has to be scalable and monetizable. You definitely need to have passion because business isn't easy. There's going to be long hours. You're going to, like, you know, we were talking before about this, like you have to be a very good problem solver when it comes to running a business, because that's essentially what you're doing, is you're solving problems your entire life. Yep. But if you don't love it, then you will grow to resent it. And if you grow to resent it, it's not going to be something that's going to serve you. I mean, you're going to probably drive it into the ground, or you're going to get thrown out at some point because the people that you work with realize that you're toxic, you know, to the business. So yes, you do need to have a passion for what you're doing, but if you can't monetize it, it's just a hobby, right? I mean, you see this all the time on these shows where people show up and they got a business pitch idea and they don't have a real business. They don't have customers. They don't have receivables. They just have something that they're super passionate about and they haven't figured out how to monetize it, and they hope that some investors will take care of that for them, sort of thing. You definitely want to have something that you love and that you're very good at, and then that it makes money too.
Yeah, I know a lot of my viewers are interested, and some of them have actually taken action and starting their own YouTube channels or their own podcasts, just because, you know, they want to help get the word out. You know, they want to push back against the authoritarians, and they, you know, we both feel that we're on this slippery slope to the, on the road to serfdom, and they're trying to create content to kind of open up people's eyes. So, and then there's other viewers and listeners that I have that are just, you know, kind of creating their own content because they want to turn it into a business that helps give them more personal freedom in their own life. So if they don't like what's going on in Canada, as an example, or in the United States, that they've got the ability to go somewhere else and still make an income and support their family. So for those kind of content creators, what advice would you have for them? Because obviously, you've built a wildly successful YouTube channel. I think you just started a podcast as well, and you've got, in fact, two, because now you got a clips channel based on, you know, kind of what Rogan was doing. So what advice would you give to those people? What mistakes did you make, and you know, how would you do things over if you had the chance?
I think that, like, the credibility that like, We all press the same upload button. You and I press the same upload button that PewDiePie and Mr. Beast press. We also press the same button with a guy that has three subscribers that when he uploads, he gets crickets, right? Like, it's a fair and level playing field. And I had this guy call in on one of my podcast shows maybe a couple weeks ago. He was a younger guy, maybe 22 years old. And his ask was, Rich, I've been watching you forever. I love what you're doing. I want to help other guys embrace their masculinity, put themselves first, understand women, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, but you're 22, right? And you can only take somebody as far as you've come, right? I've been married. I've been divorced. I made some bad dating choices, made some good ones. You know, like there's a lot of relationship stuff that I can deal with and I can speak to from experience. Same thing with business too. And I'm not saying don't do it, but if you're going to do it, if you've come so far, I would definitely talk about the experiences that you've had behind you. There's really two kinds of channels, you know, today that guys can run. It's either entertain or educate, right? Mm. If you can kind of combine those two things, like I think JP Sears does it really good, like Awaken with JP, like he's funny and he's also kind of somewhat educational at the same time. Then that's a pretty cool combo too, but I'm more of like the educate sort of guy. I think you are too as well too. So you've got to kind of pick what it is that you're going to do and then get really, really good at it and understand how the algorithms work on YouTube if that's something that you're trying to target.
Hey guys, I want to remind you to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the live conference I do twice per year with all of your favorite speakers from the Rebel Capitalist show and experts in investing, commodities, real estate, freedom, and liberty. All of your favorite topics, all of your favorite speakers. The next Rebel Capitalist Live is going to be in Miami, and tickets increase in price as we get closer to the event. So go to rebelcapitalistlive.com right now to get your tickets to the next Rebel Capitalist Live. It's the conference you cannot afford to miss. It'll help you increase your financial freedom and, more importantly, your personal freedom. You'll get intel that you won't hear anywhere else. Past speakers have included icons in macroeconomics, investing, and personal freedom and liberty. People like Dr. Ron Paul, Robert Kiyosaki, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, Jeff Snyder, Richard Werner, Mark Moss, Lynette Zhang, and Robert Breedlove, just to name a few. So once again, go to Rebel Capitalist Live right now and get your tickets today. What would you say to the person that might take the angle that, okay, maybe I'm really interested in investing, but I've got a little bit of history, a little bit of background, but I'm by no means an expert. So instead of coming out here and educating, what I want to do is I want to share my experience and take people along the journey with me. Mm-hmm. And maybe they can learn from some of my successes and maybe some of my failures. Do you think there's an angle there? Because I think a lot of my, many people in my audience, they are passionate about macro and economics and investing. But I think that would be kind of a hurdle for them that, oh, well, man, I'm not an expert. You know, I'm not like George or Brent Johnson or Lynn Alden or something like that. Therefore, I might as well not even try. And I don't think that's a good reason not to do it.
So what's wrong with those younger guys with less experience maybe doing like a summary video or like a reaction video to your longer form content? Like, hey, here's George Gammon talking about the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, and here's his breakdown. And how that affects micro, macro, and all sort of stuff, and sort of like getting it down to the basics and, you know, just kind of delivering it to the audience. Like that's one way that you can do it where you can lean on somebody that's an expert when you don't happen to have much behind you. Cause it's like, you know, back to the young kid that was like, you know, I want to teach guys how to be, you know, like a proper man and a lot of the stuff that you've been talking about, Rich, but it's like, okay, well, you're going to talk to guys that are younger than you. And the average age on YouTube from what I've seen seems to be somewhere between 28 and like 32. And it's mostly men that watch YouTube. So yeah. You're going to have a hard time capturing their attention. So maybe there's a different angle that you can hit it with where maybe you do reactions or like summaries of other people's content that's quite useful. And then you make yourself useful that way. It's an interesting question. I didn't think that we were going to talk about stuff like this, so I didn't contemplate it too much, but this is good. You got me thinking, bro.
Well, that's a good thing at the end of the day, for sure. So I guess another thing that I'd like to maybe discuss for the viewers is them just finding the motivation to do this. And one of the things that you talk about on your channel is being the best version of yourself.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very counterintuitive life sometimes, in the sense that I think you and I had this conversation on your channel where a lot of guys, they try to pursue women, as an example, and they get hyper focused on that alone. And as a result, they don't work on themselves, and they have a lot less success with the gals than they otherwise would have if they would have focused on just being the best version of themselves they can possibly be. And I think there's, if you understand that concept, I think it's very applicable to starting a business and running a business as well. And that if you get too hyper focused on one thing, i.e. making money, then everything else deteriorates and you actually end up making less money. So I guess, what are your thoughts there? And then what are some of the things that people should be focusing on in their business to make sure that they're growing it in a sustainable way that in the long run will be more profitable?
Yeah. So speaking to the profitability and the long run, you know, sustainability of a business, you got to structure it right. And the vast majority of guys don't structure it right. Like 97% of businesses after about 2 to 3 years, most businesses fail, right? Like we already know that.
Yeah.
And of the ones that survive after that, about 97% of them aren't making more than $1 million a year in sales. So you're really just creating something that employs you. But now you have the added risks of lawsuit, HR issues, all kinds of stuff that comes with that. So one of the things that you've got to contemplate when you're going to structure business, or if you're running one right now that's not particularly profitable, doesn't serve you, is a bit of a headache, is it might be time to pivot. But you want to structure it in such a way that it serves your lifestyle, you know. And it's never been easier than today to do that. I mean, for forever, dude, like there was gatekeepers to everything. You wanted to publish a book, you needed to have a publishing house put it out. We don't need that anymore. You or I can write a book and go to Amazon KDP and publish it ourselves. We can record our own audio and find a guy on Fiverr that'll edit it. And I now have an audio book as well. Same thing with like video production. You know, you needed the permission of some TV station or some production studio to put out video content. We don't need that anymore. We just need YouTube. Like, you just literally need this to start a cell phone, right? In fact, that's how most people started. I know you and I were talking before about creating content, and I've used cell phones before as well too. You know, to the point of structuring it and making it profitable, you really need to spend some time around building something in such a way that's going to serve your needs and your expertise, and, you know, really lean into that. And that's a lot of the stuff that I put in the course, is to make sure that it's built around something that's going to serve you, that's going to allow you that personal freedom. Because we don't have much of that anymore today, right? I mean, if you live in the corporate world, they start forcing people to put pronouns in their bio, and they dupe them in. I was talking to this one guy at a retreat that I was at, you know, the other week. He said that corporate duped him into coming to an event, and they didn't tell him what it was for, but it was like some drag queen sort of thing. And he's like, I would have never like, you know, decided to do that on my own accord, right? But they like trick you into doing things. So, you know, that's just the way that things are going in the world today. And if you've got that libertarian mindset, if you've got that freedom, you know, based mindset, then you really have to think about structuring a business that's going to serve you, that lets you solve a problem that you're passionate about and good at.
Yeah. And there's such a great opportunity that people have today that I don't think we really had. We were discussing earlier how when we kind of got in the game, it was like early 2000s. And, back then, I mean, this was before Google, really. I mean, it was just kind of the beginning of those things.
Yeah.
And there was no Facebook back then. I remember, I don't even think there was MySpace. I think it started with Friendster, but that Friendster, really wasn't anything for lead gen. And then it just kept transitioning, and you just had to continue to iterate and iterate. And those were the people that were successful in the end. But it's just really fascinating how far we have come, and the opportunity that people have today to make the same amount of profit, but with a lot less risk. in the sense that you don't have a 10-year lease on a brick and mortar space at $10,000 a month. You know, you don't have to have, I remember, I don't know if I've really shared this on the channel, but back in the day, I remember our run rate, just to break even, was about $2 million a month. And this is in a business that had almost zero recurring revenue. So, you know, you want to talk about pressure. When you've got a $2 million month nut that you got to hit with no recurring revenue, that's a tough business.
That's a hard business.
It's a real tough
business. A big contrast to what you're doing today, right? You know, one, right?
And now, you know, it's pretty much the complete opposite of that. Ironically enough, I do it in quote unquote retirement, right?
Yeah.
But I wish I would have known back then what I know now. And I'm sure you're the same. I guess that would be my next question. What are some of the things that you know now that you wish you would have learned earlier in your entrepreneurial journey? And, you know, obviously we can use this to talk about the course that you just set up. I'm sure that's included there.
Yeah, it's basically everything that I put in the 4 hours of lectures in my course, essentially. I mean, if I were to pick, you know, some main things that sort of stand out right now, it's like, you know, there's a lot of time, effort, and energy that you spend on things that are completely trivial when you run a business. Right. Lawsuits are a great example, right? There's always somebody that's trying to derail you, that's trying to motivate you to do something that they want you to do for their own benefit, but then they're not willing to put in the plaintiff's claim and register it in court and, you know, break down what their damages were and how they suffered them. And then you have to respond to that. Like, you know, to that point, like one of the examples I talk about in the legal module is, for the most part, if you're getting a notice from somebody that says, I want you to change this behavior, but there's no claim registered in court, like they haven't spent the time and money to put a proper plaintiff's claim together and serve it to you properly, that just says that they're not serious about it. And one of the big lessons that I learned from a partner of mine that happens to be a trained lawyer, like he's a licensed lawyer, but he's an entrepreneur first, is he says basically, you can either wipe your ass with that or you can run it through the shredder. Because 9 times out of 10, they never follow through on it. Because if they were serious, then they would have served you with a claim right from the get-go, right?
Right.
So, I mean, there's a lot of like nuances and intricacies. And there's a lot of people, I bet right now that, you know, are first-time entrepreneurs and they get a notice on some fancy letterhead from a law firm telling them to change some certain behavior, which they don't necessarily need to. And they sweat it out and they don't sleep at night and they spend all kinds of money on other lawyers and they rack up billable hours and all this sort of thing. And it's like, I've saved a lot of time and money after I learned that lesson, just setting that aside, and it just goes away on its own.
Yeah, that's such a great point. I remember I used to write my own radio copy. And
I did radio ads too, yeah. Waste
of money. Yeah, I remember I wrote one ad that had the word Disney in it.
Yeah.
Oddly enough, is what's going on in the news today. And it was one of the main reasons is because the event I was doing was being held at Disney World. you got to say where the event, and they didn't want me to do that. And I remember they gave me kind of an FU letter that I had to take down that ad because I didn't get permission to use the word Disney. I remember when I first got it scared the hell out of me.
Yeah.
Because, oh my gosh, I'm getting it from this big fancy lawyer and all these things. But now I've had so much experience that I know if I ever got a letter like that again, I'd almost laugh at it. You know, I'm just like, you know, get out of here. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You know, that's just kind of but it's through that experience that people need to go through. And I wish I would have had something back then to reduce the learning curve. But back then we didn't have the internet, you know, or at least not to the degree we have it today.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Josh, I don't know that we've got anyone in queue here. I told Rich we'd only go about 15 or 20 minutes. Okay. So, Rich, do you want to go ahead and walk through the modules in course here for people who are interested? And then what we'll do is I know you sent me a link. We'll go ahead and put the link in the description of this video if you're interested in checking out the course.
Yeah, so it's open for enrollment right now. The enrollment period closes on April 30th, so that's in 3 days. I called it the School of Entrepreneurship, and it's essentially what George and I were talking about a few moments earlier is, you know, like I wish that I had this information when I started my business. I would have probably made a lot more money sooner and with less mistakes had I known all this. So what I've essentially done to, you know, scratch the itch of everybody that's asked me over the years, what's the best type of business and how to start up a business versus the ones that are currently running a business that aren't profitable and driving them nuts, is I've basically put it all in this course under the School of Entrepreneurship. You guys can take a look at the landing page and all the information there, but I can show you the course curriculum because it's about four and a half hours worth of material. I had to break down the mindset section into three elements because they don't let you put too much information in one lecture, but there's three mindset lectures on basically setting the foundation of how the most successful, most profitable, happiest entrepreneurs think when it comes to structuring their business or if they have to restructure something. I also cover when you need to contemplate taxes, how to deal with legal matters, when you need insurance, what kind of insurance. And again, you know, this isn't specific to any jurisdiction, state, or province. It's it's at altitude, so it's at 20,000 feet. So this would apply to you living in Europe, United States, Canada, Mexico, it doesn't matter. But where I talk about when you need to hire a professional is what matters, and then the discussions you have with the licensed professional is also what matters. I've got a longer module here on the ideal types of businesses that you want to run that are going to throw off profit, that allow you freedom and flexibility. We talked before, there's really two kinds of businesses, and this is a Joe Polish acronym, is ELF, which stands for easy, lucrative, and fun. And there's half business, which is hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating. And the 97% that never make more than $1 million a year are running a half business. It's a hard, annoying, lame, frustrating business that drives them nuts. I mean, you're thinking anyway, so why not think a lot bigger? Like, why limit yourself to something that's going to make $500,000 a year in receivables when you could potentially build something with the same amount of time, effort, and resources making you $5 million a year, right? We talked before about network and how your network is your net worth. Government and regulations will at some point come your way, especially if you deal in a space where you're offering a service dealing with helping somebody's finances, for example. Like in my debt business, legislation came down the pipeline around 2010, 2012, which essentially threatened to put us out of business because we're dealing with people's debt problems. So if you're dealing with their health, making them healthier, selling nutraceuticals, something to do with finance, you're going to be dealing with government and regulations if you're in a service-based business. So I have a module on that. I talk about why borrowing money is generally dumb and how to avoid that. I talk about human resources, whether or not you want to run world-class culture with a lot of people or if you want to run a company of one. My preference today is company of one. That's how I do things and I prefer it that way. And I talk exactly why, you know, and what the benefits are. Acquiring customers, building audiences, and marketing. I spend $0 on marketing today. Up over here, I've done radio ads, I've done pay-per-click ads, I've done fax broadcasting, I've done radio, I've done television, I've done email marketing. I spend like almost zero on marketing today with the exception of, you know, like I need an email provider, for example, or I need, you know, certain equipment to upload videos to YouTube. But I talk about the importance of building audiences, marketing, and
Rich, I used to spend $400,000 to $500,000 a month on marketing. Radio and TV, $400,000 to $500,000 a month.
And again, I mean, like, you don't need to do that today if you build an audience. Like, I learned this from James Clear. You know, he wrote that book, Atomic Habits. So I met him at a conference in like 2010. And, you know, this is the value of a network and, you know, the net worth of a, you know, network of people that you can pull in and lean on for this sort of information. He was talking about his email list. And I think at the time he had something like 180,000 people on his email list. And he would email and blog. And part of the reason why he's able to write a book now and then publish it and it becomes a bestseller is because he has such a huge list, right? It's like you're guaranteed to get on the first page of Amazon with a bestsellers book with a list that big. And it's just because he's give. He's always putting out great content, right? So I talk about
Rebel Capitalist Live is a great example of that network too, Rich. You know, that live event that I do where we've done two of them and they've had about 600 attendees for both and about 12, 13 speakers. I'm doing another one June 24th through 26th. But, you know, you got speakers like Kiyosaki and Kenny and Chris Martinson, Brent Johnson, Lynn Alden, all these people. And the reason I was able to set that up in the first place is because I literally just got on the phone, just shot out some emails to my network and said, hey, and would you guys mind speaking at a live event? Oh, no, no, that'd be great, George. That'd be great. That'd be awesome. That'd be fantastic. And Rebel Capitalist Live would not be a thing without that network that 100%. That I've been able to establish.
And then it gives people an opportunity that want exposure to that network. Like if they want to meet Kenny or Robert or somebody like that, they can buy a ticket and they show up and they can be in that room. They can network with people in a room. They could potentially even sit down at a table at lunch with a guy like Robert, you know, for example. So, you know, you do have to contemplate these things when you're building a business, running a business, or pivoting it. So there's modules on what not to do, pivoting, and generating business ideas. So it's all encompassing. Again, you know, if it's something that you're thinking about, the course is open for enrollment. It closes in 3 days on April 30th. The bonuses as well. So I should talk about that. Private Facebook page for support. There's going to be monthly Zoom webinars. And I have a few entrepreneurs within my network that are going to be doing bonus presentations to the course participants, which will be a fun experience as well.
Yeah, so it's funny, Rich, we've got someone in the chat that said, why is George giving this guy a free ad?
Yeah, there
Daniel,
you go.
Because, number one, Rich is my good friend, and because he is in my network of people that I trust. And that just goes to show you why that network is so important.
it's absolutely useful. I mean, like, guys, build a good, useful network and then tap into it and make sure that you're useful to the people that support you as well, right?
Yeah,
like,
you got to give 10 times more value and never 100%. Ask, you know, you ask for almost nothing and you just give value. Mm-hmm. And that's really the secret to success. So, you know, lastly, Rich, who is this for and who is it not for?
It's for the guys that are tired of their J-O-B, like job stands for just over broke, you know, and you're always going to bump up against that glass ceiling. So if you're tired of lining your boss's pocket with gold, it's something worth looking at. You know, you feel like you deserve more and that you've got the capacity to do more. Building a business is literally the only way to do it today. You're not going to find it in the corporate world anymore. I think those days are pretty much long gone. The other guy would definitely be the guy that's currently running a business, but it's driving him nuts. He's making less than $1 million a year. It's complex. It's basically a half business, hard, annoying, lame, and frustrating. And there's a potential pivot there for him to restructure it and start doing things differently so the business serves them. So that's who it's really for. So, you know, if you're serious about that, it's offered for enrollment right now at $997. Again, it closes on the 30th. So if it's something that you think you're interested in, hop in and check it out.
Who's it not for?
It's for the guys that don't want to do the work, that are already running a successful business, you know, that are happy doing their corporate gig. They like the 9-to-5. I mean, there was a guy that asked me the day, he goes, you know, like, I really like my job and my boss is cool and the company's cool. You know, do you think I should really start a business sort of thing? And it's like, you're really not that interested. So why would you want to spend the time and effort doing it, right? Like you have to want to start a business, right? There's a lot of guys that'll have like one foot in the old world and like their other foot in like the new world trying to start a business and they never really get it off the ground. The most successful entrepreneurs lean 100% into that new business because they're forced to make it work.
Yeah, great point. All right, man. Well, I sure appreciate your time, Rich. I can't wait to talk again. I can't wait for you to get out of Canada, my friend.
As soon as I can, brother.
Capitalist Live with Rolo.
As soon as I can, brother, I will be there. You know, I'm going to figure it out this summer. I got a plan.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, bro.